Good morning, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It is March 23rd, 2023. Thank you so much for being with us. We've got Brian Stevens here. Brian is the Director of Stakeholder Engagement. Okay, good title. For Funds for Learning, our old friends, the nation's leading E-rate funding, compliance, services, and consulting, if I may, firm. Okay, they work with school districts and libraries to help them with applying for, getting, and managing E-rates. Okay, or John Harrington and the gang. They're just incredible. All right, and Brian is in charge of working of providing the high-quality solutions for the needs of all the E-rate stakeholders that they work with. And I hope if you're a school district, you are going to Funds for Learning and having them fill out your E-rate forms for you, because I always kid and say it's like filling out your old income tax in the old days, and I'll see you in federal prison. They'll get you more for your money. Okay, they're unbelievable. They're down in Oklahoma. We're going to have a great conversation with Brian, and we're going to talk with him about cybersecurity and the E-rate program. Okay, E-rates didn't cover the cost of cybersecurity, if I'm understanding this correctly, prior to all this. Okay, but cybersecurity is the number one challenge for ed tech these days. Everybody's very concerned about privacy and all that sort of thing. So they're looking for the, and he'll explain this better than me, but they're looking for the E-rate program to expand the funding and expand the qualifications to cover that. Okay, so Brian's going to talk about what's going on, and there is a window of commenting coming up. All right, and Brian's going to talk about that as well. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's our home website for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. We're all about equity. We're all about access. That's also what Funds for Learning and the E-rate program is all about, equity and access. So please go over to what we do at ace-ed.org. Our podcasts are there under the podcast link. Our magazine is obvious by the cover. Equity and Access, it's our online journal, which we're quite proud of, and all sorts of other information about teacher retention specifically and social emotional learning. All right, so please check it all out. Everything over there is free for educators at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, let me bring it, sir. It is okay. Brian, welcome back.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me, Larry.
My pleasure, my friend. Are you in Oklahoma today?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I got back into town last night.
Where were you? Austin? Were you?
I was at the COSUN conference in Austin, yeah.
Yeah, good. Since we're on that subject, COSUN, the Consortium of School Networking, what was doing at the conference? You guys are big players in that group.
Yeah. We've been a member of COSUN for a number of years and worked with them on a lot of their advocacy initiatives and all sorts of different things. So
absolutely.
It was a fantastic conference this year. Lots and lots of really great discussion. We got to meet some old friends, meet some new friends, make some new friends. Yeah. And it was a really, really great event this year.
And was it well attended? I hope so. I think what they do is so important. And, you know, it's the Ed Tech Directors Association. I know it's not called that, but that's kind of what it is for schools. Was the attendance great, et cetera?
It was. Yeah. It had been a couple of years since I had been to the conference, but this one was significantly larger than the last time I had gone.
Wow.
A couple of years back. So it felt really good. Yeah.
That's great. Congratulations to Keith, all my friends over there. That's just absolutely super. All right. Good news. And I hope you guys saw all your old friends and got new business out of this, because I think what Funds for Learning does, by the way, it's fundsforlearning.com. John Harrington's company, Brian's there. Okay. It is so important for school districts to understand the work you guys do. And that's actually where I want to start. Just brag a little and talk about Funds for Learning. Do your sales pitch.
Well,
I'm serious. Yeah. What you guys do is incredibly important. It's just incredibly important. And, you know, I've worked with John for years, and I just want everybody to know about it. Go ahead.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, Funds for Learning, our mission is transforming student lives, and that's what we set out to do. The way we do that is to help K-12 schools and public libraries secure federal funding for internet access in the classroom. We've been doing that for 26 years now. And so we work with schools and libraries of all shapes and sizes in all 50 states across the country. And we really aim to make sure that everybody's taking full advantage of this funding source to get their students connected, but also staying compliant with all of the rules and regulations in the process.
And are they, how are we doing? Are they all taking full advantage? And that's where you guys come in. Okay, that's why I always push what you do. Okay, you know, well, I can fill out my own income tax, but if I use a good accountant, I'll pay less because he finds things that I wouldn't find. Okay, that are legal, I might add. Just talk about that. Are people without your help? Are people taking full advantage of E-rates? That's a key question.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, to an extent. So the participation rate in E-rate is very high. The percentage of the schools in the country that receive some benefit, whether directly or indirectly, from the E-rate program is extremely high. But there definitely are advantages to having, you know, a professional, you know, take a look at the applications and, you know, like you say, make sure that there's nothing missing. We had some conversations just these past few days with some schools that had some, you know, kind of issues with the competitive bidding process and may have missed out on an opportunity for some funding this year, and they'll have another chance. So it wasn't completely fatal, but, you know, those types of things do happen. And so, you know, it's a federal program. There's rules and deadlines and regulations and processes, and those are constantly changing, you know, and if you're not up on the latest, then, there, you know, you could very well miss something.
Yep. By the way, what's your background, Brian? Are you an accountant? What's your background in all this? Because it's hard to understand E-rates. It's hard. What's your background?
Sure. Yeah, I'm not an accountant. I've got a tech background.
Ah, there you go.
So I actually started here at Funds for Learning as a developer. We have a software tool called E-rate Manager.
Yep.
And we actually have a free version of that schools and libraries can access. Basically, it allows them to see the current status of all of their E-rate data and all of their E-rate history at a glance. Super easy to use, stays constantly up to date. We've had that product for quite some time, and I actually started here working on that. Somehow or another, I got roped into doing E-rate. That was about 18 years ago, and here I am.
John's good at that.
For sure.
Right. That's great. Okay. And here you are. Tell my buddy John Harrington I said hello. Okay. He's just a great guy and an old friend. Okay. He put this whole thing together with Funds for Learning, and you brought up a good point. This is not an infomercial, by the way. We're going to get into this federal stuff that's going on right now. But, I got to tell you, John started this. And if you go to fundsforlearning.com, there's all kinds of helpful advice for you. Okay, whether or not you're a customer of theirs, but I think when you see what they offer, you'd probably become one. Okay, if you've never been there before, it's fundsforlearning.com. What's going on these days? Okay, I know there are, and we're coming up to a deadline on March 30th for comments about, if I read this correctly, about expanding E-rates to cover cybersecurity. That is a layman's point of view. Am I even close, Brian?
Yeah, no, yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed with myself.
Kind of, excellent.
Yeah, good.
You got this.
Thank you. Got any openings? No, yeah, kidding. I'd be terrible. Oh, my God, it would be horrible. Don't hire me to do this. Hire Funds for Learning. Go ahead. Yes.
So where we're at, we're at sort of an interesting spot in the E-rate program right now. You know, the program has always provided funding for firewalls. In general, E-rate provides funding for network infrastructure, and firewalls have been a part of that infrastructure. The problem with the way that they're approaching it right now is that they defined firewall back about 25 years ago when the program first got off the ground in 1997, 1998. Everybody knows the technology has evolved significantly since that time.
I would say.
But the way that the mission defines firewall has not evolved with it. And so we're in this kind of odd space where the FCC says, hey, we'll fund what we call a basic firewall, but we don't fund any of the advanced security services that virtually any firewall now does. And so there's this weird sort of, if you're buying a firewall solution, it's very common to have to do cost allocations. You peel, you know, the cost of the licenses out. It ends up being that as a practical matter for a modern firewall system, the program only supports, 40 to 60% of the cost, depending on the options. And so because of that, there has been, and I think that this whole, the comment period that the FCC has initiated is a success story. Because it really is the result of a lot of work by a lot of people We're trying to convince the FCC that it's time to take a look at modernizing their definition, potentially expanding the scope of eligible services in the E-rate program to cover some of these more advanced network security services that are out here now. And so back in December, the FCC did just that. They issued a public notice that was basically soliciting comments from the public about E-rate and cybersecurity. And you know, they asked questions like, you know, should we fund this? If so, what types of things should we fund? How should it work? What's it going to cost? You know, how do we administer it? All of those sorts of questions. They're really kind of seeking feedback from E-rate stakeholders and other organizations as to, you know, do we do this? How do we do it? What sort of fences do we put up around it? And so that comment period has been open since late December, and it'll close, like you mentioned, here at towards the end of this month on the 30th.
Yeah. Did they get a lot of comments? I mean,
they did. You know, the initial comment period closed sometime in February. So there's this, you know, they have an initial comment period and then a reply comment period. And so mid-February is when the initial comment period closed. And they did get a ton of comments, from all different types of organizations, which I think is fantastic. So, you know, it wasn't just the firewall companies that had a stake in this that submitted comments. It was certainly vendors and manufacturers. It was also schools and libraries.
I would hope.
State governments submitted comments. Organizations, we mentioned COSIN earlier, but the number of other sort of trade organizations submitted comments, consultants. So there was a really nice representation of the E-rate community in the comments that they received.
Were they expecting, this is an interesting question, because it seems so redundant. Why would anybody respond negatively? Was there anybody who said, no, we don't need an update on this? I mean, I can't even I said my car has 200,000 miles. Should I get an oil change? You know, and yes, you should. You should get an oil change. Yes, it's going to help. I've never changed the oil since 1997. Should I change the oil? I mean, who would help? Don't do this. Right. Help me there. It's such a silly process. Go ahead. Welcome to the government. Okay. Talk about this. Nobody responded negatively.
Sure.
No response negatively. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, well, you know, we like to look at, you know, when you have one of these big comment periods like this, what we like to do is take a look at all the comments that are submitted and try to boil it down into areas where a majority, if not all, of the commenters tend to agree, right? Because I think if we can find some common ground as a starting point, then we can use that and then, you know, work out the details from there. And so not surprisingly, the number one theme that we saw is that everyone is in favor of the E-rate supporting, you know, this advanced security, stuff. And that took a wide variety of forms, too. Certainly, there were just schools that said, yes, absolutely, we need funding for this. You know, there were also some more nuanced sort of arguments made that said, you know, hey, you know, E-rate really is an appropriate funding source for this type of service that basically, you know, it fits well within the sort of overall scope and mission of the E-rate program that, you know, as it was defined in the beginning. So they're not, you know, sort of overreaching their bounds by starting to fund some of these things. So absolutely, you know, near unanimous agreement that this is necessary and an appropriate way to fund it.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. Whenever I talk to COSIN, which I do a lot, or any ed tech director, they always say, and I want you to back this up, I think I'm right, that the number one thing on their mind It's student privacy, all right, cybersecurity. I mean, there are other things affecting school districts, certainly, okay? But for an ed tech director, that always turns out to be number one, all right? And am I correct with that?
Absolutely, yeah. It is on everyone's minds. I can't tell you how many. Yeah, tech directors, CIOs, CTOs, whatever sort of alphabet soup you have after your name, the thing they tell me is that, you know, the thing that's keeping them up at night is this cybersecurity issue.
Exactly.
And, you know, K-12 schools are sort of disproportionate in the number and frequency of attacks. So, you know, you have certainly businesses and governments, whatever, but, you know, K-12 is kind of skyrockets in, you know, being a prime target, you know, for nefarious actors out there on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it really, and it's something that we absolutely need. And this is a good question. Everybody would like more money for this, all right? And I just explain this because you are an expert in it, all right? Well, you know, as you know, the federal budget, so to speak, is coming down to a big argument down over in Washington, all right? And, you know, both sides will argue back and forth and scream and yell at each other. Where, how much does something like this cost, and where does the money come from? And I kind of know that, but I think it goes deeper than what I know. Where, you know, we can all ask for $300. It's old Everett Dirksen's old line, you know, a billion here and a billion there, and pretty soon we're talking about real money, okay? Mm-hmm. What's you know, where's the whole thing come from, so to speak? It's easy to answer.
Yeah,
where does
yeah.
it come from?
Absolutely. Well, you know, and that's a big part of what the FCC is seeking comment on, is what are the true costs of these things? You know, since the program does not fund it right now, we don't have data through the E-rate program that we can look at to sort of know, you know, for approximately what the costs are going to be. There's been a number of different organizations, Funds for Learning included, that have done some cost modeling to try to predict, you know, but so much of the discussion is highly dependent on, you know, sort of the scope. I mean, if you take cybersecurity just sort of in general and you just lump any possible thing that qualifies as cybersecurity, you know, in that definition, then you have a massive amount of money that's required because there's so many different, you know, angles and solutions and
right.
all that sort of thing. And so, you know, sort of central to this discussion is, okay, well, you know, let's settle on sort of a definition. Okay, we're going to talk about sort of this type of this facet, if you will, of cybersecurity. And then, you know, once we sort of define that, then we can take a look at the costs. And so that's what they got a lot of comments on, was, you know, how do we, you know, define that for the purposes of the E-rate program? And at that point, then we can really kind of get into some, you know, down to earth numbers and projections as to what that might cost. And so, you know, and there were a lot of different sort of opinions on, you know, exactly how that should work.
In the world of the FCC, the total world of the Federal Communications Commission, okay, where do E-rates sit as a priority for them?
Well, you know, E-rate, the current chairwoman, Chairman Rosenworcel, E-rate,
she's great.
She's been an E-rate champion for her, you know, entire tenure at the FCC. So it is, I would say it's on the mind. It's a priority. She's had, you know, a couple of direct sort of interactions with the E-rate program recently, you know, in the form of press releases, some different things here and there. So it's relatively visible. At the same time, we have a split FCC, so we don't have our fifth commissioner, and that's been, you know, a little bit difficult when it comes to making progress. So there was a nominee that, you know, ended up, you know, rescinding her nomination last week or week before last, and so we're kind of back to square one with, you know, four commissioners, you know, two on each side, and so anything political like that.
Are sides Democrat, Republican, when we talk sides? Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You've got five commissioners, you know, and typically, you know, it'll be three and two depending on, you know, who's president. And so that's typically how it works. But there's confirmations that are required. And so, you know, that kind of gets into, you know, okay, well, that's why we haven't gotten somebody so far. So
I'm throwing my hands up in the air like, what else is new, you know? Yeah. It never ends. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it is a priority. You know, I think that it's a little bit difficult maybe for some of these things to move through, or at least to move through quickly, while we're still sort of a 50-50 split on the commission.
It's so interesting in politics down to it always boils down to politics, to the nitty gritty. You guys, I know this, okay, and just put this into perspective with what you know, what's going out there. You have a Funds for Learning annual trends report, okay, and where's this issue sit in that report? What's the impact? with that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So our trends report is sort of the culmination of a few different things. It's the summary of all of the E-rate data that we collect and analyze. But we've also conducted an annual survey for over 10 years now. And we survey E-rate applicants, schools and libraries that are, you know, directly participating in this program. And we ask them a series of questions about the E-rate. And, you know, we certainly have the financial data because we can see the funding applications and the status of all of those. So what we're after with our survey is more of the soft data, the experience that schools have. You know, are they satisfied with the way that the program is being administered? You know, are the things that are funded helpful to them? What other things, you know, should be included in the programs? So questions like that.
So, like cybersecurity,
Absolutely, yeah. And that's a question that we've been asking for a number of years. 98% of the respondents of our survey, which this past year, in funding year 2022, we got just over 2,000 responses.
Wow.
That equates to roughly 10% of the applicants in the country, which is a pretty
good return rate. Yeah.
98% of them said that cybersecurity should be included in the program. So, you know, absolutely. The other part of it, too, is that at the end of this survey, we give the applicants a chance to submit comments, just, you know, text comments, whatever's on their mind they can type in. We got over 600 comments about all different aspects of the E-rate program, but there were so many comments about cybersecurity and firewalls and all of those sorts of things. Again, I mean, it's, you know, we know it's on everyone's mind. And so all of that feedback then from the survey is collected and aggregated and then presented to the FCC. So we did that in mid-2022. We'll be doing another survey that we're going to be opening very soon here in the next week or two. For the funding, the 23 survey will be out soon. And so, you know, we plan on delving into this security topic a little bit more since we know it's top of mind. We're preparing some additional questions that we've not asked before to sort of get a little bit more information about that this year.
And Brian, let me ask you the opposite question. Is there, and you know, like we were saying before, money has to come from somewhere. And you've been doing this for a long time, you guys over at Funds for Learning. Is there any, I'm sure there is, but you know what I mean when I say this, is there any waste built? In other words, they're giving money for things you don't even need anymore. Is there waste built in that can rob, so to speak, rob Peter to pay Paul, okay, if needed?
You know, yeah.
I mean,
not
of course,
really.
Things change. You said it before, you know, it starts in 1997. In those days, maybe, I don't know, maybe they were paying for AOL or something, you know, and that can be, you know, that can be dropped. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, back in 2015, there was a kind of major update, modernization to the E-rate program. And they actually sharpened their pencil quite a bit with respect to the scope of eligible services. So, you know, it, trending over time, I would say there's actually less things that qualify for funding now than there were when they first started. They used to fund things like telephone service and email service and web hosting and some servers and things like that. A lot of that got cut out in favor of really focusing on just the network. Internet access, wide area networks, and network infrastructure to make all of that stuff operate.
Mm-hmm.
And so a large part of this cybersecurity discussion is, hey, these are not optional things anymore. You know, like these firewalls, this security stuff, it's required for the reliable operation of these networks, you know, in a way that, you know, now more than ever, you know. And so that's sort of a big part of the argument that a lot of the comment we saw in the comments was, hey, this is critical network infrastructure, and that's what the E-rate is designed to do, and that's why it fits here.
Right. It all just meshes together, and it's so darn important. And again, school districts are eligible for this, but you have to get every – you deserve every dollar you deserve. Okay, and you have to get it. And that's why Phones for Learning and John and Brian's expertise and their team, by the way, is so important, okay, in getting this for you. And I just want to say this, besides all our comments, that you I know John and you guys work very hard, all right, with FCC. You are on top of everything with them, okay? And you act as, I know you're not a paid consultant, so to speak, but you act as a friendly consultant to them. You know, it's a back and forth. And also, I might add, with COSIN. Okay, you guys are you know, work so well with them, my good friend Keith Kruger and his gang over there. All right. And it's just so important what you, what John and you have built, okay, to make this so important. And you know, school districts really need this. This is the, this is crucial time, so to speak, just crucial time. End it up, Brian. What do you think? What's going on? What do you want people to do?
Well, you know, if there's one takeaway, I think it is that the FCC needs to hear from schools and libraries.
Yep.
It's absolutely critical that they receive as many comments as possible. It is very simple. You do not have to be an attorney or have any sort of experience whatsoever. There's instructions on our website. You can go.
Great.
We've got
Thank you.
A one-pager, you know, on how you can log in to the electronic comment filing system and submit comments that way. Lots of resources available for that. But don't let that frighten you. You know, I mean, you really can just put one paragraph in that says, we support this, make a suggestion, you know, issue, have an opinion. But get those comments in before March 30th, because, you know, the more comments they receive, the more feedback they get, the more likely it is that they'll be spurred to action, which is ultimately sort of the, you know, the goal that we're after here. So I would encourage everyone, you know, submit comments, and then from that point, you know, stay tuned, right? Because we need to keep the conversation going. We can't just submit our comments on the 30th and then say, okay, well, we were done with that. We'll just wait for something to happen. You know, there needs to be, you know, continuing conversations, advocacy work, you know, meetings with the FCC, comments, all those sorts of things, so that we can keep that in front of them until we get a result.
It's so important. I just want to ask this. Okay, we obviously public schools are eligible. Our charter schools are eligible. They're public schools. Are parochial schools eligible? Religious schools?
Yeah.
I'm just asking. Yeah. Just telling everybody so they get excited about it. Okay. All sorts of schools. Yeah. It's good. And how far up the line does it go? Is it strictly pre-K 12, or can a preschool apply? Can a college apply? How's it all work in that regard?
Well, so I have to get a little bit E-rate nerd on you here. It actually depends a little bit by state. So however education, you know, elementary and secondary education is regulated in your state. So in some states, absolutely, pre-K students and facilities are eligible, and it can go all the way up to certain types of adult ed programs, in some cases juvenile justice. The programs can qualify, but a lot of that really does kind of boil back down to how does the state regulate those types of programs. If they consider it, you know, K-12, then it's usually eligible.
I'm glad I asked that question. I didn't know the answer to that. Thank you very much, Brian. Brian, you're a good man. I appreciate you being here today. Thanks for all this info.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Come back anytime. I do want to talk to you. I'm going to call you later today. I want to talk to you about something. Is that okay? Get you more involved with this here.
Absolutely.
All right?
I'll call you. Give me a ring.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Tell John I said hello, please. Okay?
Will do. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye, Brian. Brian Stevens, fundsforlearning.com. It's a long thing, but you only have to type it once. Fundsforlearning.com. Go over there. There's tons of information for you, and I've got a lot of it linked here as you're listening. All right, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Everything we do over there is free. Okay, so please go over, check it all out. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.